Dear Lord, thank you, Father. I'm not sure if I'm a little tinny or how it's going to sound back there. I'm just, you can adjust it as we go. Amen. Today I want to look at an area, as I was looking this past week and reading a couple of areas in the scriptures. And I guess the thing I would tell and encourage you is don't go back. Don't go back where? Don't go back to where you came from, amen? Where Christ has brought you from. Thank you, Jesus. Where he has brought us to, it would behoove us, it would be beneficial to us to remain at least where we're at with a desire to go even further with him, amen? Many times when we get on a relationship with him and we get to that level of asking him into our lives and asking him for forgiveness of our past and our sins and the things that we were not proud of in the past. And thank God for the salvation and thank God for cleansing of our sins. Amen. And we get to that level and sometimes we think, wow, that's great. I feel great. Did you feel great when you asked him into your life? Did you feel wonderful when you knew that your sins were forgiven and that the past was the past? Hallelujah. That was good times. But then sometimes some of us, maybe not those here today, maybe not those of us in our church, I would hope not, but you just never know. But I would encourage you is don't stop. And for sure, don't go back. Now the thing is, how do we know you could go back? Well, in God's Word, in a couple of areas, there's some references to these things. It helps us understand what will happen if we return back to that former way of life that we once had. When we leave ourselves open to the ways and the schemes of the enemy, the devil. You know, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're free of any problems and situations that will come upon you. Amen? And sometimes, some of us think of it, once we became a Christian, all you did was put a bullseye on your back for the devil or on your front. Front, back, top, side, you name it, you know. Some of us, if we got enough side, maybe we got a bullseye on our side. I don't know, you know. But we end up in the crosshairs of that of the devil. And that's not to be scared. I'm not scared of the devil, and I'm not worried about that. What I've got to do, though, is I've got to keep myself tuned in to God. I've got to continue to hunger after him, thirst after him, desire more of him. How about you? Are you at that level of hungering and thirsting and desiring more of him? It's not just good enough to turn from a particular sin or to have God remove it from us if we will not allow God to fully come in and reside in our lives. We talk about Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. We sing songs and choruses about those things. And how possibly we may not be telling the truth because maybe we aren't truly allowing Jesus to be the Lord of our life. We've shared and you've heard and you're aware of, I'm sure, but let's just repeat it, that we have got to surrender all of ourselves to him. Spirit, soul, and body, your strength, your mind, you name it, you need to turn it over to Christ. Amen. To allow him to be the Lord of your life. So many of us try to give him just a part of us. And there's parts of us that we're willing to give up quickly. But there's so many other parts within us that we want to hold on to because it's our human nature. It's maybe things that we enjoy doing and it's things that we want to hold on to. And it's things that it's like, oh, well, it won't matter, will it, God? It's like someone was sharing today in Sunday school when they had done something and were kind of, you know, kind of caught in a lie. And all that person that was trying to get the truth was, said, well, God knows. Boy, we heard that. And that resounded in all of us, I think. You know, I know when that's happened, it's like, you know, God does know, amen. You can't hide from God. You come to him, you received Christ, and you said, oh, Lord, come become Lord of my life. Was that just a story? Were we just lying? Were we just maybe caught in emotions or whatever? And we go on and we come to find out 6 months later that, well, maybe he's not really the Lord of my life totally. I've still got some areas that I'm holding on to. We're fast to go out and share what Christ is about. We're willing and excited to go lead someone into the sinner's prayer and have that promise of heaven that's presented to all of us that way. But what do they do while they're here on this earth? There's more to becoming a Christian. There's more to it than just saying, what? The sinner's prayer. We can all say that and go home and be done. Amen? But that's not where it stops. That is just the very beginning. It's now time to go to boot camp. It's now time to go to training. It's now time to go to whatever you want to call it to learn more of the things of God and how He wants to deal in your life and what it's going to take for you to surrender those things into His life or into your life and surrender those things into Him so that He becomes more and more real to you, more personable to you. Do you have a personal relationship with God? Do you talk to Him like He's your friend? Do you visit with Him? Do you laugh with Him? Do you cry with Him? We find this that we need to allow God to take up residence within ourselves, within them that we lead with that sinner's prayer. To have the Holy Spirit fill them continually, to be able to be strong and to be able to resist the devil. We are not able, as much as, you know, we got some strong women in here and some strong guys, I'm sure, but your strength is not strong enough to resist the devil on your own. Do you believe that? You know, when we think that we can do it because I'm a man, I'm macho, or I'm a woman, and I take, you know, multivitamins, and I can do it, you know, I drink gelatin or whatever so my nails are strong. Isn't that the old gelatin thing for making your nails strong or something like that, you know? But if we think that we can do it on our own strength, we've already been deceived. The enemy has already come in and he's got you fooled. As I was reading again, I was sharing a couple of scriptures this week. And to me, I just read a few and then I just stop and I go, well, that's interesting. What is this all about? The first one I want to read to you, you can look at Matthew 12:43. It's titled and above in my Bible here about an unclean spirit returns. Now, when we read these things, and the same story is told in Luke 11, the spirit, that evil spirit, that unclean spirit, sometimes we look at it as the person that's demon-possessed and we depossess them by that of Christ and pull that evil spirit out or the demonic spirit. But this also is speaking in regards to, I think, and some of the commentaries and things that I was able to dig into is speaking about our everyday lives as followers of Christ. But let's look at the scripture. We'll go on a little bit more here. In Matthew 12:43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through the dry places, that the spirit, seeking rest and finds none. And then he says, I'll return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Sounds good, doesn't it? How many here would like to have a house that's empty, swept, and put in order? Your physical house. Hey, yeah. You know? So the spirit comes back and he's finding it that it's empty, swept, and he's put in order. And then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and they dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. How can it be worse than what it was? Because he talks seven times more. He went and got, you know, seven other spirits. We come to Christ. We receive Him. Sins are forgiven. and things are changed in our life, and we're a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. That past sinful life, the things that were holding you bondage, are gone. But if we don't continue to remain strong in God, if we don't remain growing and learning and developing and allowing Him to have more of our life, and a lot of this what happens is people get to a level, and maybe you know of some people that you think back, just think through your Christian history of times in your own life, to where people got to a certain point with God, and then the cares of this world all of a sudden came back upon them. And they set things aside for God, and they didn't really get that much closer to God. God began to be an afterthought. They began to think more of the things of this side of the world and the worldly things and things taking place, and they set God aside. And pretty soon, once that happens, I believe an area within our lives begins to become void. Because remember, when we come to Christ, and sometimes we say, oh, just empty yourself out and allow the Holy Spirit to come in. Amen. Come. Fill me. That's the important part of the Holy Spirit to come into that person, is to fill that place, to fill that void that was once of that of sin, of the nature of man, of the nature of the God of this world, to where we kick that person out. We gave him an eviction notice. We received Christ, and now he's coming in. Then we receive the Holy Spirit, and everything's going good. But then, for whatever reason, they don't remain strong with the things of God. Concerns and cares and things of this world creep back up on them. They don't stay hooked up to maybe a fellowship of a body of believers, of like-minded, faithful people. They don't attend church. They don't attend Bible study. They don't go to prayer. They used to do all those things, and they've stepped back, and they no longer are a part of that. What's going to happen to that person? It's kind of like what this scripture is doing here. All of a sudden, the Spirit are those sins that were cast out and gone, somehow they find themselves back at that cleaned, swept, and organized house to come back in. And not only come back in one, but come back in seven times worse, because that person didn't remain strong in God, didn't remain built up in God. They began to become an emptiness and a void within them, and that spirit or that sin returns back. We find the same thing in Luke 11:24. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, Luke 11:24, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. That old evil spirit saying, I'm coming back to visit where I was at because I liked where I was at. And when he comes, he finds it swept and he finds it put in order. Then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. Have you ever been aware and seen people that have had a wonderful relationship and where they've come from and with the things of Christ? And maybe through time, maybe you lost contact, but then you get back in touch with them and you learn that through something in their lives, all of a sudden they're worse off than they were when you first knew them before Christ. And it's like, how did that happen? Was it God? Did God fail? Did God fail keeping that person strong? Did God fail keeping him protected? Did God fail from having God filling him and being in him continually day in and day out? It wasn't God's failure. It was that man. It was that person's failure to stay strong with the things of God. So it's more than just receiving him as Lord, become Lord of my life, forgive me of my sins, I confess you as my Lord, and now I'm going to heaven, and now I'm going to go back out and live in the world. It doesn't work. That's why you end up just beaten up. You end up frustrated. You end up discouraged. You end up in so many things. It's like it's worse than you shouldn't have even started it. You shouldn't have even received Christ to begin with, really. You should have just stayed where you were at, you know? Because it talks about that. It's better, you know, that the man would have just stayed where he was at rather than getting him to that point. Now, here's what we're finding in these couple of scriptures. that Jesus is describing the attitude of the nation of Israel and the religious leaders that were found there. Now, if you go through the Old Testament, and you will find that there were good kings and there were bad kings, right? Those that were good kings listened to God. They were placed there by God. And even God put bad kings in places because the people deserved them. But these good kings came on the scene and they began to honor God. They began to follow what God was saying and doing and wanting them to do. They cleaned up a society. They cleaned up an area. They cleaned up a particular part of a nation of idols and things. And God blessed them and was there for them. And then as time went, maybe they ended up dying or their tenure was over and another king came in. And another king comes in, and that king all of a sudden reverts back to the old way. Reverts back to having idols. Reverts back to having, you know, statues or you name it that he wanted the people of that nation to bow to. And so we have a flip where at one time this king was honoring God and following him and had no other idols except God was their God. And their time of oversight is now over, and now this king comes in. They could have died of age and or whatever the case is, and now this one comes in, and it could be the king, the son of the king that was there. It could be lineage of generation, and well, this next person comes in, but they don't follow and adhere to what this past relative or father maybe did, and they decide to start listening to the people of the nation or people that are younger than the older generation. And they begin to, and this is, you know, you go like in 1st, 2nd Kings, and you go through some of those areas there with Solomon, and you know, David then has Solomon, and Solomon and Solomon's son goes, and is now taking receivership of the kingdom, and he goes off on the deep end. And he ends up listening, instead of to the wise counsel, he listens to those of his age and young people, and all of a sudden you continue to read through that chapter, that book, and you find out that they went right back into sin. They went right back into other idols. They went right back into, you know, statues and golden calves. And, you know, he wanted them to bow to this, you know. Well, God says, we're not to bow to any other thing. Only God. So that's where we find these verses in Matthew and Luke. And the dog, and we're going to go do that in a little bit. But these spirits and the going back and worse than what it was. So in Israel's history, almost as soon as a good king would pull down idols, a bad king would come in and set them up again. So Jesus is illustrating an unfortunate human tendency as well. Isn't it great that, you know, we read this in the Old Testament and we think, well, that's just kingdoms and things like that. But Jesus is now in the New Testament here and we're sharing these things and we're finding out that he's kind of giving us a heads up. Because he's saying that same thing to us in our own personal life. When I came into your life and you got rid of your idols, whatever that idol was, you know, fishing, golf, you know, a hobby, working long hours, whatever, you know, you name it, whatever took your time from God and you surrendered it to him, you tore that idol down and you said, I'm going to be all yours, God. I'm going to serve you. You're going to be the most important part of my life. 6 months goes by, and pretty soon God is not so important to you anymore. Because that tendency of that hobby, that tendency of that passion that you had before God, all of a sudden comes back in because you did not remain strong in him. You allowed yourself to become void. You didn't keep yourself filled with the Holy Spirit. You didn't keep yourself strong in God. Amen? If you don't stay strong in God, you're going to become weak. When you become weak, that old adversary is going to come around and come back in 7 times worse than what he was the first time he was in your life. And you're going to wonder, what goes? What gives? What happened? So here, Jesus is illustrating an unfortunate human tendency as well. When we turn away from sin in our lives, it doesn't take us long at times to turn back to it. We get broke from it, and it's a release, and that bondage is... Isn't it great when the bondage is removed from you? But yet, again in the history of our lives, that bondage again will come back on us sometimes, and it'll even be more of a bondage. So when we turn away from sin in our lives, it doesn't take long for us to return back to it. It's not enough to empty ourselves of evil. We must then be filled with God's Word, with the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish God's purpose in our lives. If you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, if you're not filling yourself with God's words, if you're not meditating and staying close to God on a daily basis, you become unfilled, complacent, and you're an easy target for Satan. Jesus is trying to help us understand these things so that we can live a good life. Amen? We are to live a good life on this side of heaven. Even as we go through so much negative news and just tragedies and tragedies day upon day upon day. Who would have thought? 1 week, Friday night, we had that Las Vegas thing, and 2 weeks later, we got a church shooting on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning that took tragically half of a church while they're sitting in their pews praising and worshiping and doing whatever in church. So it's like, my goodness, we just went from this tragedy. Couldn't we have had a reprieve from the evil that's taking place and all that's going on here? And no, all of a sudden we see something else come up. But it's not to get ourselves focused on those things. And it's not to sit there and say, oh, well, it's all going up in smoke and there's no sense and there's no need and there's no purpose. What? I might as well just forget it and give up. No, now is not the time to give up. Now is the time to dig your heels in even more. Be strong. Stay strong. Keep filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep filled with God's Word so that you can survive tomorrow. And the tomorrows after tomorrows. Because as we also shared in Romans 1, 28, 29, 30, 31 through there this morning back in Sunday school, you know, that's not a good scenario to see coming. But it's going to come. But we're going to remain strong. And we can remain strong. We can not worry about that old, you know, spirit coming back into our cavity, our body, our house, our porch. You know, that's that adage where, you know, hey, make sure your front porch is swept. Keep your front porch clean, you know. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself swept out and keep it filled with that of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Keep God so much in your life that there's nothing else that will fit in there. If you've got so much of God in you, if the Holy Spirit is in you and filling you so much, when the enemy comes, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you of those things, and he's going to protect you of those things. He's going to say, Tim, don't do that. Tim, stay away from that. Tim, don't go there. Why? Because the evil one, that spirit, wants to draw you back into that where you came from. The enemy doesn't need to take you into a new area or new level of sin. Chances are he's not going to do that. He's just going to keep wrapping you on the same thing that was a weakness back before you knew Christ, right? Because that's where your weakness was at. And the devil's going to just keep chawing and gnawing away at it as best he can until he gets you frustrated or he finds an opportunity, a more opportunity. Oh my goodness, a more opportunity. Who heard that? Jesus heard that. When he was in the desert, he didn't give in, did he? The devil tempted him and tempted him and tempted him. Finally, he said, get away, get thee behind me, Satan. And it says that he left him, but for a more opportune time. The devil, and I'm not saying this to scare you, because we're not going to be scared, but I'm going to say, the devil left you yesterday, but he's looking for an opportunity time tomorrow to come back to you. And if you are not wise, if you are not keen to the things of God, if you are not filled and refilled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because we give ourselves out, we serve and we help, and pretty soon we become dry. And then before you know it, something comes in. And that's that old enemy again. And then you got to start all over. But if we know that ahead of time, if these two scriptures in Matthew and Luke, yeah, we're talking about unclean spirits, we're thinking and you're casting out a demon, and we sent that demon out, and now get hooked up into a fellowship, get hooked up to church, get hooked up to God's Word, so that demon doesn't come back. Well, I'm going to tell you, every one of us, before we came to Christ, we had demons in our lives. We had something taking place. We were living for this god of this world, the devil, and, you know, we were probably doing pretty good at it, weren't we? And so we've left that life, and we've come into a new life, but it's going to be our job, it's going to be our task upon us to you need to guard yourself. I can't guard you. No one in this room can guard you. We can keep you in prayer and pray for you, pray with you. Amen. But you have a personal responsibility to yourself to keep yourself filled up with the things of God, to keep yourself filled up with the Holy Spirit, and to meditate on His Word, to read His Word, to prepare yourself for the battles that may come tomorrow. And when those battles come, God says, I go before you, and I am around you, and I am behind you, and I will protect you. But you've got to stay, what? Connected to God. You can't lay it down for just 2 weeks. Okay, I'm gonna take a vacation from God. That's not good. Don't ever take a vacation from God. Now, as we look at this, in 2 Peter, you've heard this. It doesn't sound good either. 2 Peter 2:22. Now, I guess let me pull there. Let me go back there real quick. There's some other things. 2 Peter 2:22. But I'm going to start in like 20 or so. 2 Peter 2:20. 2 Peter 2:20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, how many here have escaped? Well, you talk about pollution. Remember 20 or 30 years back, the big talk on pollution, you know? Air being polluted, they'd show smokestacks, they'd show, you know, litter on the roads, they'd show garbage everywhere. The earth is being, the country is being polluted. Well, that's kind of like what this is saying here. For after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome. The latter is worse than the... Now, go back. It's talking in regards to, if you want to go back to 2 Peter chapter 2 and just begin reading that, it's talking about the destructive of doctrines, the false teachers, deceptions of false teachers. You know, all the Word of God being diluted and changed and not truly that of the Word of God. But it's going here to where it says, and they come entangled in them again, and and the Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome the latter, and it is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. And this is what's interesting. For it would have been better for them not to know the way of righteousness than having known it, and then to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the proverb, and that's a proverb that you read, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire. Yuck. A dog returning to his own vomit. Now, you can envision that, because if we've ever had a pet, you've seen the dog do that. And in nature, sometimes that's what they do as they're growing, too, the nourishment from mom, and, you know, all these things. I'm glad my mom never did that for me. But trying to make a point of it, the dog returning to his own vomit, that's what happens when we return back to that sin that we just had got released from or deliverance from. Why do you want to return back to that vomit? Why do you want to return back to that yuck? But many times people do that. Peter is speaking of people who have learned about Christ and how to be saved, but then they reject the truth and they return to their sin. They are worse off now more so than before. They have rejected the only way out of sin, the only way to salvation. And that can happen to any one of us. I know some of us will say, oh, that'll never happen to me. Don't ever say never. I've been around long enough and heard people say things like that, and it's like, oh, don't go there. Because it seems to me, talking about, remember that bullseye on your back? It seems like when the devil hears a guy or a person or somebody, even in the kingdom of God, say, well, that'll never be me do that. I'll never fall in that sin. I'll never do that. It's like, oh, you just put something on the back that the devil's going to say, okay, I'm going to be looking for you, and I'm going to snare you and trip you up. Might not be until 5 years from now, but the devil is, you know, he keeps working on you. So never say never. So heed this warning. Returning to past bondage from which you were once delivered will result in a deeper bondage. Well, that's coming out of 2 Peter 2:22. Yeah, where it's talking about the dog and his vomit. My footnote, and you read footnotes on these things, and it's what Peter is talking about, people returning back to where they've come from. And, you know, just like we read, you know, where, you know, we go back to that bondage. Well, that bondage is even going to be greater than the bondage you came out of. It ties into that same thought process of when you're, you know, all clean and inside, and that spirit has been cast out of you. You've received Christ, and now you've got a new place, and the Spirit of God is filling you. You stop allowing that to happen, and all of a sudden, you don't keep yourself tuned into God, and pretty soon, that dries up. You know, just because you get filled one time doesn't mean it's a permanent fill, does it? You've got to continue to keep that filling going. You've got to continue to ask God, and oh, hallelujah, Lord, thank you for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill me again. Fill me again to overflowing. Keep it coming. Keep pouring it in me, Lord, because as we go through this life and pour it out and being led and doing things, you end up with a void there, and you've got to say, fill it again, Lord. Keep me full. Because it's that process of thinking. If we don't do those things, that old spirit, that sin, will come back. He'll find that place empty, swept, and all in order. And that old sin will come back in again 7 times worse. Just like the bondage of, or just like that, it's better to not receive those things and get out of that bondage and then go right back into it and not staying strong in Christ than to ever have come out of it and go right back into it, because it'll even be harder. That bondage will even be more of a bondage upon you. And it's not to say, don't give up and don't turn to Christ and all, because it's better just to stay in your sin where you're at. It's not to say that at all. But it's just to let us know that you need to come out of that, and then you need to be responsible to keep yourself filled and growing and developing in the things of God. And more so in these days that we see happening upon us, you know what? Because I tell you what, with all the things happening, it wouldn't take too much for someone to say, oh, forget it. Just take me out of here, Lord, you know, or this is enough. But no, you're here for a predetermined time, and you're here for just the right time. And I don't know what it all is for all of us here in this room of what God's going to do for us at this time and what we're going to do for him at this time. But whatever it is, amen, do it with all that you can. Do it all for God and give him the glory. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for how it helps us, how it guides us, how it guards us into the schemes of even the enemy, the devil. Oh, you love us so much that you've given us so many things in your word, Lord, to protect us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to know what to look out for. It's because you love us. And you know that the battle that we go through, and you know what we're going to deal with. And Jesus gave that example when he was, as soon as he was filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, he was put back into that, he was led out into that desert to be tried and tested. It's the same with us. And may we come through it like that of Christ, to where we can command and tell, get thee behind me, devil. But also let us realize, too, that that devil will try to find another place to come into. And let us be able to guard ourselves. Let us be able to be filled with the Holy Spirit to the point, Lord, where nothing else can fill this cavity. that we're filled with your love, your compassion, your strength. Fill us with a desire to want more of you. Because, Lord, if we want more and have more of you, that leaves less for the enemy. And when those times come, it'll be just like water on the back of a duck, Lord. It'll just roll off of us because we're so filled and full of you and your word. Thank you, Father. Lord, as we come to the time of our service to worship you and our giving, Lord, I